Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. So hi Kelly, thank you so much for joining me. Just so that anyone who's listening knows, we haven't talked about what we're going to talk about before, and I actually, although I've got a vague idea of where we're going, I have no idea what we're going to be talking about. So thank you for coming and joining me, and I would love to know what brings you to coaching, or what brings you to this coaching conversation today.
Well, it's relatively new path I'm going on. I left my full-time job back in July. I've been in teaching for about 15 years, and have left formal teaching after a few years of not feeling like the way that education is going suits me and the way that I like to teach. So I decided to leave it, and at the same time started looking at different things on Facebook, as different groups and things, and going to a few networking meetings and just feeling like they were useful but not quite hitting the mark again. And then I think I came across you in one of the networking groups, and then looked at your page and looked at your book and signed up to the workbooks, and started doing those, and just felt like actually this was a group of people that I kind of connected to in a sort of more intuitive way, I guess. I thought, well, actually, yeah, they're the kind of people that I can get ideas from, and creative sort of input, which is what I've been missing for the last few years. So that's how I came to do it. And then being able to do the video blog was brilliant, because I think it really pushed me to do something again, different. Knew that that was the kind of thing that I'd like to do, but never really felt like I could or had a platform to or anything. So and that's how I came to be here chatting to you now, which I'm really excited about.
And what did you want to use this session for?
I think just to get your ideas on a couple of the things that I've been thinking about in terms of a possible business idea. One of them I am really excited about, and I think it would be good, but it's kind of perhaps a couple of years away from realizing it now, but maybe it doesn't need to be. Maybe I should be a bit more confident in what I'm doing, and actually think, well, yes, you've got a good idea, start working on it, rather than maybe I could do it in a couple of years' time, and maybe just to be able to kind of have some of your expertise in goal setting and ways of structuring it, but without it being you must get up at 9 o'clock, put your suit on and sit behind a desk in order to do it.
Okay. And so in relation to this business idea,
yeah,
and this new kind of idea that you've got, which you're excited by, you're interested in, it feels like it's a couple of years down the road, so it's a bit of a challenge, a bit of a stretch for you to work out the how and feel confident in that it's the right idea, or it's a good idea, or that it will fly. If everything was going as you wanted it to, what would be happening that told you it was going how you wanted it to?
I think I would be working during the school day. So that's at the moment I'm having to make a bit of a compromise and work after school, because of the nature of my business, it has to be tutoring, and that at the moment seems to be after school. So it would be working in the school day rather than taking time up that I'm want to spend with my family. It would be varied. It wouldn't be the same place. It wouldn't start at the same time. It would mean working with lots of different people on more of a short-term kind of model rather than being in somewhere for the for a long time.
And what would be the benefits of
so
that?
So practically, that's
it. Sorry, what would be the benefits of that for you, or the impact that that would have on your life?
I think it would fit better with my family. I think it would work to my strengths in terms of problem solving and being a creative person that sees ideas of how to overcome things for children, but not necessarily be there throughout the whole journey. I think my strengths are in identifying difficulties and putting and other people then putting things in place.
If you can see that vision in terms of what your day looks like and what that kind of what the work involves, and know what the benefits are to you and what impact that's going to have on your surroundings, what is the biggest challenge, or what's the thing that makes this like, oh, it's 2 years away rather than it being tomorrow for you?
One is a physical space. Mm-hmm. So schools are just strapped for physical space to have anybody come in and do anything whilst in the school. So that's one thing that I've got a kind of an idea around. Whether it would work, I don't know. I need to get some kind of input from head teachers, I think, and things on that score. And the other is a bit of a mindset change, really, because I think parents are stuck at the moment. Either they take their child out and take them somewhere a bit further away and they disrupt their whole school day by bringing them to someone like me, which means the parents then can't work that morning or that or what have you, or they don't put support in place and they rely on the school. And what I would like to do is to minimize that disruption for everybody, so especially for the children, so that if they had support on site or nearly on site, then that would stop that disruption going on, plus I would then get to work in the school day.
Okay, so the challenge at the moment is the physical space.
Yep.
And the kind of attitude or mindset or prioritization of parents in relation to wanting it at all or paying for it or traveling for it. What's the mindset shift?
I think at the moment they that it doesn't have to, that they wouldn't have to have it during after school, that they could have it during the day and that it wouldn't disrupt their child's education to the extent that if they were having to travel and take time off work and things like that, that they could, their child could be, you know, supported during the school day and without having to do it after school. I guess it's that shift. I think parents are more than happy to pay for specialist support. I don't think it's a kind of, and I think that with education being as it is, lots of parents are realizing that if they want to, they have to subsidize almost their child's education, which is sad and terrible, but that's the way it is at the moment, I think, in education.
And in terms of the like doing this in schools or near schools or around schools in the school day, it's the parents that you need to shift. It's not the teachers or creating space. Like, how viable is it from that side?
I think teachers don't have, they don't have any money to support pupils with literacy difficulties. They can provide a certain amount of support, but they are as strapped as anything. And the parents have a right in primary schools to take their child out to seek specialist provision. So in that way, the teachers are, you know, beholden to the parents' wishes. And most teachers that I've met, if the support is relevant to what the child needs, then they're more than happy to accept it. But it does, at the moment, it does disrupt the school day for the teachers because they have to catch up that child when they come back in. And if they're coming up to SATs and things, sometimes I know they're going out for good support, but they're missing out on key things in school. So
So where are you up to now? So where's, what have you done so far in terms of progressing this forward and tackling or approaching these challenges?
Well, I'm set up to do some after school support with a few parents. I've been using my Facebook page to sort of reach out to other parents. I'm going to write a letter to the heads in my area about the idea of having kind of tuition come to them and see how they, what they think of it, whether they think it would work as a good idea. Because I think without knowing that, you know, that part of my idea can't really progress. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about doing a kind of a series of possible video blogs for parents as like a taster of, you know, this is how you can help your child read, 2 tips a week or something like that, as a way of showcasing that advice element of my job. I haven't done anything about that yet. I did have some really good information from Tessa Brooks from the Misfit to Mavens Facebook page about that area. So that's something that I'm thinking of maybe might be a good idea. Not sure yet.
Okay. And in terms of the two specific challenges you said around parents' mindset and around space, what are the obstacles that you're facing, or what have you done so far? What's worked? What hasn't?
Well, I have to confess here, I've kind of been to the will of the parents rather than, so one parent is not able to get their child to when I said, so I kind of said, okay, well, I'll kind of do it on a Tuesday morning at 8:30, which then means I'm a bit disadvantaged because I don't then take my child to school, or I'd have to use a breakfast club, which is silly because then that just cuts into the amount of money I'll earn for that half an hour on a Tuesday that I have to drive 4 miles down the road to go and tutor this one boy. So that's something I've learned, that I shouldn't necessarily put the needs of them before my own. And perhaps actually, even though you want to win new business, there are certain things that I shouldn't compromise on. So that's one lesson learned, I think. And the other thing is I'm looking at kind of a how to have a mobile space to go to schools, and what that would look like. I don't know. It started out me thinking a horse box because it's square and might smell of horses, but it's big and square and you can stand up in it. I've kind of scaled that down now and thinking of other options, but that's one of the options I'm thinking of, is a kind of mobile drivable space that I could then take to schools.
Okay. So let's move into options, things you started there. We kind of know where you're at, you know what you've tried so far, and coming back to these two specific challenges that you're facing, which is around mindset of parents and around having a physical space that you can bring, or you know, some kind of space that you can bring into school so that you could do it all in one place, right? So you have multiple people one after the other, so that they don't have to travel, you don't have to travel. So in this bit, when we look at options, it's really not what are you going to do, but what could you do? And it's really about being a little bit more playful with it, you know, taking the challenges out, like, you know, what if I could wave a magic wand? What would that mean? Do, you know, that kind of stuff. So what, in terms of specific actions, what could you do to move yourself one step closer to having a solution in either of these areas?
What if I had a magic wand?
Yes.
Is this a bit more? Yeah. I could have a space that was accessible to any child that was coming in, that had enough space to probably teach 2 or 3 children at the same time, that had equipment that is dyslexia friendly, that I can, you know, that they can write on the walls or bounce on, you know, gym balls rather than sit on chairs, that it was a space that other parents could come in and see what it looks like to support a child that has literacy difficulties and the kind of equipment that you need, And somewhere where the teachers could also then come and see what a dyslexia-friendly classroom looks like and take it back to their classrooms. So that would be ideal, is to have a big enough drivable space to do that kind of thing in.
And so taking it away from, so the magic wand is still magic, and in as much as it gives you the time and the money that you need, but the solution for this has to be grounded in what is actually possible in the human realm. What kind of drivable space that's big enough for 2 to 3 children and could create this dyslexia-friendly environment so that both children and parents and teachers could come in and really see and experience this? Mm. What are the options? What are the possibilities of that? What that could be?
Well, started as a horse box because I was thinking that's square. I've thought about double-decker bus. Mm-hmm. These are massive, you see, and then you have to think, well, actually, where are you going to park this thing? It came down to, I totally wrote off a white van, because as you can imagine, you don't want to be piling kids in a white van. That might not go down well. So then I looked at camper vans and kind of small motorhome type things, which would work in the sense that they have big awnings that come out, which you can then have an outdoor classroom. And I think that's... getting to be a bit more practical and a bit more grounded in what could actually work. The space inside them is smaller and would need a lot of kind of customizing, so you probably couldn't have a big session with adults in there, but you could definitely still get 2 children in plus me. So that's kind of I think that's sort of what I'm looking for, really, is that kind of, which would be easy to drive, and you can park it on the road, and you don't need any kind of licenses to drive that. Plus, okay. It would look good as well. It would look quite cute going up to a school rather than, a horse box or a white van.
I don't know. I think you can, again, there's lots of different ways that we can customize those things to make them look interesting and appealing now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. So what about, so we've got some options there of things that you could use as that space. What's the biggest thing that stops you from doing any of those things, of any of those things being a yes, or the motorhome just being a yes?
Two things, really. One would be whether schools would want it, whether they see the need that I've seen and would welcome it, whether there were any health and safety, sort of child protection things that they may not agree to that happening from their point of view. And then obviously the kind of the cost, the money side of setting something up like that, investing in it. And that kind of goes back to the confidence as well in the idea and as to whether it would work. I think it would. But.
So who else needs to think it would work in order for you to be confident about this?
That's a good question. Probably my husband, I think. I mean, he's also self-employed, so I think we're both on this new self-employed journey, and I think I think my husband would need to kind of see it as a possible option too.
Okay, and what in terms of the criteria of whether something will fly or not, or how confident he feels about it, what criteria does he need to, or what information does he need to know before he feels confident about it?
I think that schools would be interested in it, really.
Okay.
Is the bottom line.
So how can you find that out?
Obviously we're on summer holidays now, so I'm like pulling my hair out waiting for the heads to go back before I was going to write them a letter and send a letter just about it and just get their ideas as to whether they think it's a good idea or not. I know a couple of heads which I can speak to directly and run the idea past them, but they're friends, so they could just be like, yeah, that's great, yeah, that's a really good idea, rather than an honest opinion.
Okay, so that's really interesting that you think that your friends wouldn't be honest with you.
No, I think they'd want to support me. So yeah, I don't know whether
and
they would.
And supporting to you would be lying to you.
I think perhaps they would say it was a really good idea, but then when they're in their professional environment, they might not say the same.
But I think you're telling me that your friend, that you think so little of your friend's professionalism that outside of the school environment, they are willing to lie to you to protect your feelings around whether or something or not something is something that in their professional capacity they would be interested in or not.
Okay. That's, yeah, no, you're right. I probably give them enough, or me or them enough credit, really, or our friendship enough credit.
What would happen if you explained that this was really important, this is a business idea for you, and that you're kind of concerned that they might just be really supportive and say, oh my God, I think that's a great idea. And what actually you really want to know is genuinely with their professional head on, if they were in their professional environment, whether they think that this is a good idea or not.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'll... Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that's something that I find quite difficult, really, I think, in terms of having the faith in an idea enough in order to seriously talk about it. I'll almost excuse it before I say it, which, you know, that's why I started by saying to you about it being a horse box, because that's the kind of silly bit that it started from. But actually, as I think about it, the idea itself is good, but I sort of made an excuse before, you know, talking about it seriously, and that's something I definitely need to get rid of, in terms of confidence in the idea and things, to sell it 100% to somebody else.
So this is really interesting, because it's actually got nothing to do with whether your husband thinks it's a good idea,
no,
or whether your friends think it's a good idea, or whether the head teachers think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
At the moment, the stumbling block is you. The stumbling block is that for some reason you lack, in your words, confidence in the idea. And the only way you're going to gain confidence in the idea is by what? Like, how, if you were working with a child who said that they had an idea that they lacked confidence around, what would your way of tackling that with them be?
I would probably ask them to think of all the, you know, the good and the bad bits of their idea, to write them down. And then I would probably work through all the negative elements that they wrote down, as a problem solving exercise with them, to, you know, to then narrow down if there are any negatives, how you deal with them, and what you'd then come up with a way of working around those, probably using their positive attributes to do that.
And if we did that for you, what are the negatives here in this scenario?
The unknown, I suppose, the kind of risk of putting yourself out there and having an idea that you haven't really seen happen before. I think that goes back to me being very good at having ideas and doing lots of stuff with ideas, but actually then seeing it through is sometimes a little bit scary.
I agree, it is. You know, I think running a business, standing by your own ideas, having the courage of your conviction, following through, taking consistent action is scary, but it's also a huge part of running a business. And at this point, if you are too afraid to ask people in their professional capacity what they think and whether it will fly, whether they'd be interested in hearing more, then you're never going to take that one step forward. And this is the easiest of the decisions you will ever face as a freelancer. It's only going to get more complex as it goes forward. I guess part of it's also like, how serious are you? So if you don't take steps forward with this, if you decide that you're too scared to ask, that the unknown is too scary, that the risk is too great, that you're not going to go and ask people, parents, teachers, friends, whoever, whether this is something that they would be interested in. If you're too scared to do the market research, and 6 months passes, what's the impact on that, on not doing anything, on your life and your family's life?
I think I'd probably be quite frustrated and still thinking about it, because although I've got other bits going on, it's tutoring that I really love. It's the bit that I think I'm very good at and I enjoy massively. And the other bits that I'm going to be doing are a bit more sort of in schools, doing more on terms of, in terms of policy, which is great, you know, it will pay the bills. But it's the tutoring and the contact with children and talking to their parents is the bit that really drives me as a person. So I think I'd be a bit disappointed that I have to curtail that bit because it has to be, you know, after school in a folk hall room rather than the vision that I have of what a classroom would look like and things like that. So yeah, I would be I'd be disappointed and still thinking about it, I would imagine.
And so knowing that, imagine being able to put yourself in a position of 6 months time and knowing that you'd be really frustrated and that, you know, you might have had to get a job, that you'd be doing these other bits that aren't as, and you know, aren't as engaging and that you're not as passionate about, that you might have been able to carry on doing the tutoring, but it might not have made you very much money because you would maybe have to pay for childcare for your own daughter to be in this position. Thinking about all of those kind of in pieces of information, pieces of the puzzle, does the idea of speaking to the heads that are friends of yours become less scary and more more of a challenge that you can probably face?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it will. It's a means to an end. I know that's the piece that I need the information on. I know I need to know what schools would think of this idea, and whether it would be workable. So to not use that resource would be silly, really. Especially in the summer holidays where I can't actually go and speak to other heads right at this moment, to not use that, those people whose opinions I do respect, and who I think, yeah, you're right, they would hold me in higher esteem than to just say, oh yeah, well done, yeah, it sounds wicked.
I think so. I think that actually, you know, one or two things are going to happen. Either they will say, you know what, these are their issues that I see, in which case you've got some information that you can work on before the end of the summer holidays.
Yeah.
But come the end of the summer holidays, you're actually able to write a letter to heads or get in touch with heads with some context where you're able to say, I've spoken to these heads already about this idea, and the objections or the challenges or the questions that were raised were X and Y, and what I've done about this is, and like, that's going to have a very different reaction.
Yeah.
Or they might say, this is a fantastic idea, and actually the places that I think that it would be most beneficial is this, or you know, or whatever. So until, like, you're actually in a place of being really stuck until you take this action, and then more pathways open up to you. Okay, so then the other side was And there's no point in investing in trucks or buses or caravans or motorhomes or any of that, or even, you know, spending hours trawling eBay or thinking about crowdfunding it or, you know, any of that stuff.
You've read my mind.
You know that you're in, right? And all of that stuff is way more fun
than
having a conversation with your friend, which you feel a bit uncomfortable about. But if you have that uncomfortable conversation, then you know whether or not it's worth investing more of your time in this. Yeah? Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, no, definitely, definitely.
So there was one other part we were talking about. I feel like for me, mm-hmm. the audio is still fine. I know that our internet's gone a bit weird, but the audio is still okay for me. Are you still there?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. So the other side of this was parents. And what do you think are some of the ways that you could approach this issue around mindset for parents and check whether it's true, or just, you know, take yourself one step forward in knowing more or doing more around the parents and the mindset?
I mean, I think that's tied in really with the idea of having a mobile classroom, really, because I think any parents would be happier if the support of their children was within the school day and they didn't have to get them somewhere. So the other, and I think my problem with any other changes to their mindset is I personally don't agree with them bringing their children out for a long time anyway. I do think that support would be disrupted, schooling would be disrupted if they were then having to fit into my school day and bringing them to me. I don't feel like that's quite the right decision for that child. So even though, yes, it would make things easier for me and I would earn my money and et cetera, et cetera, I don't feel morally that that's the right decision for those children to do. So that's why I'm thinking, well, how can I get around that, you know, myself?
So again, it's not really an issue with them. This is really an issue with me and with you. And the best way to deal with that is to come back to this initial issue, which is like, can my specific idea, which is the idea that I want to work on, having a mobile space that I can take into schools, that I can be there for a period of time, whether it's a term at a time or a day at a time or, you know, whatever. And I can move that around and so I can get that flexibility that I want.
Yeah.
And actually the first hurdle here is not marketing and it's not branding and it's not telling your parents about it and it's not YouTube videos. It's actually just these two things. It's asking the head teachers and the people in charge of schools whether it's something that they can see any health or safety or logistical or child protection reasons why it can't happen. And whether they would be interested in helping you make it work so that it works for teachers and for parents as well. I feel like we've kind of gone around in a big circle and actually we're back at this place where there's two bits that kind of need to happen, like two bits of action. And one is exploring which vehicle is it? Like in an ideal world, if you had, a checkbook that with no end or, you know, no capacity, what would be the exact right thing for you? Not like based on cost, but based on practicality of driving it around, of getting it into schools, of having the right equipment in it and all of that. What is the vehicle that you actually want for that? And then having the conversation with schools or with the heads, the friends that you've got and access, you know, immediately to make some progress on this. If you know, it's even like, if I am confident in this idea and I'm presenting it to you, what are the objections or the obstacles that you can see that I might be facing? So that you can get some input, some professional input.
Well, that's a good area to start with, and a kind of practical action that I can get on with rather than trawling through eBay looking at camper vans, which is quite fun to do, but obviously not getting me anywhere nearer to realizing it. And the more I talk about it and the more people I mention it to, you know, their response is, oh, that sounds really exciting. That sounds, you know, that sounds like a good idea. So I think I need to kind of do that a bit more with the right people and just see whether that excitement continues. Because I think if it does, then, you know, I'll know I'm sort of on the right track and can really start thinking about it seriously rather than being a bit hesitant.
And even if it doesn't, you've got a choice. And in the same way as we explain to kids all the time, like really in these areas, if we believe in something, we have to keep going, even if no one else believes in us, even if there's an objection, right?
Yeah.
Or we make the decision, we listen to the criticism or the feedback or the whatever, and we go, oh, you know what? Actually, that makes sense. This isn't going to work. Yeah. I'm going to try another idea.
Yeah.
We can't do any of those things until we've put ourselves out there in the first place, until we've asked for help, until we've communicated that.
Yeah, you're right.
So as a result of this conversation, what are you going to do?
I think I will, unfortunately, my neighbour has, who is my friend, who's a teacher, has gone to Scotland for 2 weeks. So that's frustrating. But I've got a couple of other friends that I can contact with. And just, like you said, just run ideas past them, but also ask them what their views are as a teacher to the kind of possible hurdles or possible benefits, and then start thinking about the letter, because if I'm going to write them, it's going to take me a while to get them all done.
Yeah, and it can be the same letter, you know, just tweaked for that particular school and stuff. So there's that. And I don't think that, personally, I don't think that trawling on eBay and looking at vehicles is a waste of time. I think there's a difference between using it as a distraction and using it to get really clear and have a much more confident pitch, because once you know which vehicle you want, that's your ideal, and then you can be communicating about why that vehicle, what it's going to have, why it's going to make a difference, and why this is going to work.
Okay.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with me about this. I think it's a great idea. And I'm really excited to see where you go with it.
Yeah, no, I've really appreciated your time and your honest, quite difficult questioning. But I really appreciate it. And yeah, I'm really pleased to have won this competition and have some time with you. So thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Well, thank you, Kelly. And let us know how you get on. Come in the Facebook group and tell us.
I will. I will. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.